Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Life's What You Make It, Talk, number 26, 1985, and that is a great cut. Not a huge hit, but that is a great band, and if you like 80s music, you might want to check out some of their deeper cuts. Alan Hunter, one of the original MTV VJs, is with us. Alan, are you there?
I am here. It's Friday night. Surprise.
Great to talk to you, and do your kids have an appreciation for your coolness and your place in pop culture history? Do they ever get to see you interacting with 80s people like myself?
Do you want me to really answer that truthfully? Do my kids give a crap for what I do and what I've done? Look, I got two pairs. You know, I've got older kids. I have a 32-year-old son who was born in 86, so he was the first VJ baby. But he was sucking his thumb when I was, you know, hanging out with Bon Jovi.
Wow.
In fact, Rod Stewart sang him his happy birthday on his first birthday at the Playboy Mansion. Hello! Is that a weird thing?
That is cool.
My older son is into electronic music. He's an actor. He kind of poo-poos 80s music. It's not his thing, pop music in general. He's very not into pop music. But we were on a cruise 2 years ago, on an 80s cruise, and I brought his sister and he along with me as sort of my chaperones, because my wife don't do boats.
Right.
And Wang Chung came on and started doing dance all days, and we had a couple of beers, for sure. It's late at night. And he said, "Oh, they do this song? I love this song." So he liked that one, at least. Oh, Wang Chung.
That's cool. So I listen to you now on Sirius, and it's great. You do a great job. Do you and the other MTV VJs, do you hang out? Please say yes. No.
We hang out in the virtual world. Look, I was on the boat just last week or this past week on the 80s cruise. This was the fourth one, so Nina was there and Mark was there. And we got to hang out with the likes of Kenny Loggins and Cutting Crew and Berlin. So it was tons of fun. We don't get to hang much. Mm-hmm. We emailed tons. Martha's living out in Malibu. She's on the iHeart in San Francisco. So, you know, we email mostly in text, although Nina doesn't know what either one of those are. Yeah. So, you know, we try.
How have you not been on this cruise, Larry?
Yeah, well, my wife doesn't do boats either. That's
okay,
why.
All right. Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
I've done this with Alan Hunter on WGN Morning News, and I just, it's fun for me. So, here am I.
Exactly. It's fun for you, Larry, to dive deep.
Yeah,
here's you know, everybody thinks it's so fun to come up to me in the street and test my trivia knowledge.
Right.
You know, of some obscure song from a band. I was like, I don't know. I was half drunk the whole time anyway. So.
Right. Robin calls me Johnny B-side. So here we go. You know, you don't need me to tell you that, you know, Billie Jean's a great song. So I try to find these lost hits.
Well, yeah.
Big Country. Yeah. If you like their one-hit wonder Big Country from 1983, this song is actually one of the band's favorites. It's called, let's take a listen, Fields of Fire. What's great about Big Country is they play that guitar and all their songs, it sounds like bagpipes. I love it. And I'm wondering, Alan, if you know why some bands really take off overseas and over here, meh, and vice versa.
Well, it's vice versa. I mean, there's some bands that are huge hits over here. The Cutting Crew had a hit or two, and I was talking to Nick Van Eet from the Band Over the Weekend, where they had some greater success here initially before their success in their native territory. I don't know. We love the Scots, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And maybe we just have a larger, you know, country, and we can accept or we can get into a band, you know, quicker than their home territory. I think the people in the UK are more discerning, and Scotland and Europe. We go for anything.
Well, that Big Country Greatest Hits album is worth picking.
Was that from The Crossing, by the way, The Crossing?
Yeah, I believe it was.
I mean, In a Big Country is the big song, and I think that was from The Crossing, if I remember.
Right. There are some really good songs on that album. My next one is from 1989. Everybody knows the B-52s. They know Rock Lobster. They know Love Shack. They may not know this one. 1989 from that Love Shack album, Channel Z.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, I was just singing all the words to that.
Is that a song for you?
I love Channel Z. Oh, my God.
That's a good one, Alan.
I could not sing all the words to that song. But, hey, by the way, next year then is the year for you to get on the boat because they're going to be on the cruise.
Oh, are they?
Bucket list.
March of 2020, the B-52s, the headliners. 80s cruise.
Maybe you should just go to with Alan.
It's just,
are you kidding? That would be my dream. I was one of the girls in line at the mall at the Music Land to meet him.
All right, you and I will go. I'll leave my wife at home.
Wait.
Yes, Larry. Oh, my God.
Which Music Land?
The one in Orland Park? Orland Square Mall, baby. You would alternate between Orland Square Mall and Woodfield. Do you remember when you had the caravan?
I remember you, sure. Oh, I remember all of that. Every last minute.
It's like Anna Bolivar and Ricky Martin. Redone right here. Me and Alan Hunter.
I remember all the malls I've been to.
We have a Polaroid picture together that I still have.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. That's embarrassing. Can't imagine that.
This next hit is from 1983. I don't know anything about this band or this song, and it's kind of, but it reached number 13 on the dance chart. It's from Ministry.
Yes.
Any Ministry stories, Alan?
Oh, my God. Well, you know what I love about Ministry is that they sound like they're from the UK and they're from damn Chicago.
No kidding. I did not know that. You're kidding me.
Yes. Al Jorgensen, you know, was the lead guy. They Twitch was the big album. They went out with the Police on the Synchronicity Tour. I mean, I love Ministry. Well, I think they are... We used to play them on a show on MTV called 120 Minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you remember that or not.
Sure.
But I hosted that for a couple of years. And they were one of the, you know, to say that they were an underground or an alt band, I think they truly were one of the late 80s alt bands that we all dug. So, wow. I don't know.
Wax Trax Records? Was that what they were on, Ministry?
Oh, Lord. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
They were based here. And they had a record. The record label was here, and then they had a record store on Lincoln Avenue.
That sounds familiar. I mean, I know Stigmata was a great song.
Okay.
Yeah.
Over the Shoulder. Anyway.
Cool.
So, yeah, I love Ministry. Good pick.
All right. I'm doing okay so far. Alan, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll talk to you again on the other side.
All right. It's 720 WGN. It was the same old song with the man.
Larry Potash and Dave Plyer here, WGN Radio, with Alan Hunter, the original MTV VJ. Alan, if I remember from your book, did you start out wanting to be an actor, and you got in a Bowie video?
Oh.
I wanted to be a Broadway, you know, singer-dancer type. I wanted to be Hugh Jackman before any of us knew who Hugh Jackman was. I mean, right. I just wasn't tall enough. I went to drama school. I was kicking around doing off Broadway shows. I was in a David Bowie video fashion. If you go back and Google it, you'll maybe see me. And then I got this crazy call to audition for this thing nobody had ever heard of before. And after three auditions, they got desperate. They only had 2 weeks to go before they aired, and they hired me. It was like, just take that guy, and we'll see what we can do.
Now, my parents didn't spring for cable, but I remember going to my aunt's house, and this was, I think, the closest our generation got to the cell phone, where we would sit and stare at MTV for video after video after video.
Yes. MTV was the first social network. I mean, you know, after a while, it was the thing that people talked about around the water cooler the next day. Did you see the new Michael Jackson video, the big premiere of, you know, another video? Did you see how short Bon Jovi's shorts were in that video? So it was the thing that it was the glue for the nation. You know, you had ESPN and CNN that were the 24-hour-a-day cable things, shows. And then MTV came along, and it was like wallpaper for everybody's lives.
Let me turn from the alternative deep cuts to the lost hits of the 80s, more rock. Now, I want to bring up the romantics. Everybody thinks about What I Like About You, and then that god-awful song, Talking in Your Sleep.
Easy boy.
Let me throw this one at you, Alan. This was one, and I read that the romantics spent some time playing in the Boston clubs, and so maybe I heard this growing up and it wasn't on radio elsewhere. It's from 1980, and it's called A Night Like This. Do you remember that one?
I got to tell you, that I sort of do, but it's egregious. It's up there with the worst Kiss cast-off song on the planet. Like, oh my God! Well, you know, there's a Chicago connection with the Detroit Romantics, right?
Oh yeah, what's that?
Brad Elvis is their drummer. Brad Elvis is from Chicago, lives in Rogers Park, I think.
No kidding.
I know them really well. I was with Wally Palmer, Brad, and Mike Skills in the band, and Rich Cole. They were at this Punta Cana event that we did this past November, and I love them. I've always loved the Romantics because they are, it's four guys playing their instruments. Yeah. You can hear all of it. It's very simple. They know a good pop song.
Yeah.
And they're still working it. You know, Wally Palmer's about 4'5". and 300 pounds, and he's just a ball of fun. I love that band.
Yeah, let me take a look at another one. 1981 from April Wine. Do we have that one? So I would imagine, Alan, in those early years, like 81, a lot of those rock bands didn't have music videos.
No, they didn't, and that was, you're picking obscure songs from obscure bands. As much as I love April Wine from Canada,
yeah.
I mean, to me, they're up there with Diesel. You know, they've got a sound that sounds like the cassette was on the dashboard of the 105 degree car, and there's a little wow and flutter in there. Yeah. You know, it's sort of off key and watery and weird.
Yeah.
I mean, Just Between Me and You is their big hit, right? Am I wrong about that?
Well, yeah. So, Sign of the Gypsy Queen was that right? That was
right.
Yeah.
Right. So, no, look, early on, that we had about 250 videos in the catalog. Whoever had a video, if it was Barnes & Barnes and Fish Heads, we played it. Of course, Rod Stewart had 10 videos in the rotation. Bad Benatar had 9. So if you were in the game, we played the crap out of your stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, then people started figuring it out that they were selling records. The Stray Cats, nobody had ever heard of.
Right.
And kids in the middle of America were going to the record store saying, we want the Stray Cats, and we want this U2 band and this Duran Duran. So, MTV started selling records.
Right. Do we have time for what? Because you talk about obscure. If you think April Wine's obscure.
Not plenty of time. We're good.
If you think April Wine's obscure, Alan, have you ever heard of a band called 707?
they're from the West Coast. Yeah.
It was featured in an Adam Sandler film, Grown Up, so I'm assuming Adam Sandler likes it. He and I are about the same age.
Yep.
Do you remember that song at all?
I don't.
I Could Be Good For You. They're a West Coast band, right? Am I crazy?
I think so. I'm not sure.
They're a glammy band.
I'm not sure.
I think they were.
They
yeah,
were like.
You're not sure.
I think they were like Triumph, but like much lower key.
Yeah. Triumph meets Twisted Sister meets Poison. I was on the boat with Dee Snider recently, too, by the
way. He's a good guy.
I love that.
He's a real good guy.
707 is your most obscure tonight.
All right.
Good. And you win it. You picked all not so great songs tonight, except for maybe some Ministry and Talk. And by the way, God bless Mark Hollis.
Yeah.
He's gone and left us from Talk.
Texter from 815 says, "Larry, dude, April Wine rocks. Awesome."
They do. And every time I slam a band, I get tons of email and posts. In fact, I came out of Diesel's Sausalito Summer Nights, which to me is. You know, it's just an egregious song, and it's somebody's favorite. It's 10 people's favorite.
Right.
So I try to be diplomatic. It's very hard.
Alan, what's your go-to? What are the songs you like to listen to on your own?
You mean like nowadays in general?
Yeah.
What
do
I have on my Spotify or whatever?
Right.
I listen to all sorts of music. I mean, there's days when I get in the car and my wife just wants to chill with watercolors. Where every song is Snowdrift and, you know, Chilling on the Mountains kind of stuff, like Candy Jazz, I call
it. Right.
So I could listen to Al Jarreau, then I could go to Nine Inch Nails, and then I could go to Pavarotti's Noose and Dorma. I certainly love the 80s. I do the show every day. So U2 and Peter Gabriel and Midnight Oil, I like the bands that had some gravitas to them. The hits from Bon Jovi and others, you know, they're okay. But my son listens to electronic music, so I'm into EDM and whatever is new in that world. The young kids, look, watching Star Is Born and Lady Gaga's amazing performance. I mean, she's a talent. She's going somewhere, that Lady Gaga.
Yeah, she is very talented.
By the same time, I love Kacey Musgraves. I think some of the new country stuff is kind of I never have really been into country. I like the old style. I like Garth Brooks, but the new singers and Brandi Carlile, she's not going to be dead. So singer-songwriters are back again, as it were.
That's great. I want to finish strong here, if I could. I remember watching...
Yeah, because it's been so weak on a Friday night.
I know. I remember watching the Grammys in 1989 and hearing them say Album of the Year was, I think it was called Sowing the Seeds of Love, whatever that album was, Tears for Fears. And I remember thinking, okay, Sowing the Seeds of Love, I know what that song is, but what the heck else is on that album? That is a great album.
Songs from the Big Chair was the name of the album.
Okay.
And, I mean, that contained all of their big hits. Tears for Fears, look, they were hugely into the Beatles, and you can hear Beatles references in not only that song, Sowing the Seeds, but the other one as well, and the title is escaping me. But
yeah,
I love TFF.
I'm going to play this song, and it's funny you mentioned the Beatles, because if you were to listen to the whole song, which of course we won't, you would hear the Beatles, you would hear gospel, you would hear and you would hear jazz. Let's cue up Bad Man's Song from 1989. So that's a very long song, but you get a sense of the range in that song and how talented they are. That is not Everybody Wants to Rule the World, which is a great song and a classic song, but they are great musicians and great artists.
I'll tell you, my other favorite song is Mad World, and the way Gary Jules covered it in such a melancholy, sad way for the Donnie Darko movie. But they're one of those bands. You know, the new wave, the UK bands like Duran Duran and U2 early on. These guys had chops. They had been playing in the clubs like the Beatles had for years before they made it over here in the U.S., and they had great style. There's a lot of bands that sucked, of course.
Yeah.
But listening again to the Cutting Crew live recently, listening to the Fix recently live on the boat, they knew what they were doing.
So I sometimes get made fun of because I talk on the air about how I like Duran Duran, which is usually considered a girl's band. But
nonsense.
When you think of Duran Duran, people think of the Reflex, and they think of a lot of those pop songs. But if you go back to those early years, there was a lot of jazz in there. They were really good.
Well, yeah, they were good. Again, they knew how to play their instruments. They played live a lot. John Taylor is a really great bass player. If you listen to even Hungry Like the Wolf or Rio, I mean, the guy's working it out. But Save a Prayer is a real contemplative song. That's one of the, a great ballad. They had a full range. And look, they're still kind of relevant. The album that they put out a couple of years ago, Paper Gods, I saw them at the Ravinia Festival 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And they're great. They're working with, like all of the old bands want to do, they work with the young DJs.
Yeah.
And Mark Ronson produced their last album. So, and Janelle Monae was on it. So they're kind of hip. They're still hip and cool.
Yeah, they put on a great show. And the influence for Duran Duran was Roxy Music. And
sure,
I have a deep cut from Roxy Music, and I remember I only knew of this song from MTV because they had an early music video in the early days. It's that song was called Over You, but this one is called My Only Love from 1980. Let's take a listen to this one.
Wow.
There's a change in me. Even now you're gone, you love me.
You can hear a little Duran Duranish in there.
A little bit.
Absolutely. That was an album. I don't remember much of it, but it's called Flesh and Blood. And I used to say about Brian Ferry that he was one of the classiest men in rock. He was kind of like Bowie in a way. He was always very dapperly dressed. And good for them for getting inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They deserve it.
Yeah, they're a great band as well.
Pioneers.
Yeah, to listen to their deep cuts is well worth the time. What was it like? Did you get to interact with Bowie much when you were in that video?
Funny story. So I was one of the sort of primary. There was a group of like six dancer types, but we were sort of the glue in the video. We were at a dance club in the Upper West Side of New York doing that day's shoot. And we had this real strange modern choreography that the choreographer had taught us. David Bowie had invented these moves, if you go back and watch the video.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to just improv, which was weird for me. I wasn't really a dancer, but I could move pretty well. But she said, we're going to roll, and y'all just improv. So they had some other real dancers who were doing these goofy improv modern moves, and I was kind of embarrassed. So my improv move was just to stand there like a statue and not move at all. That was so avant-garde. But I caught Bowie over on the side watching, and I just was like deer in the headlight. I came off of the set after they had cut, and I was trying to get a word in edgewise, but all the extras were trying to sycophant him. But finally I came over and said, I just am a huge fan of yours. He said, good job, mate. And I was like, holy cow. David Bowie told me good job. A few years later, I was in Los Angeles taking an acting class.
Yeah.
And his wife, Iman, was in the class. And wow. I had to do a scene with Iman. And I said, I was in your husband's video for fashion.
Wow.
And she was kind of highly unimpressed.
Yeah.
Like, no, I was really in the video. But I got to know G.E. Smith from that shoot.
Sure.
We kind of were friends later, and I got to watch him play with everybody on the planet. So I don't know. It was funny for me to be in a video, and 3 months later, MTV explodes. So
that is great.
It was cool.
Let me throw in another deep cut. I'm a big fan of Pat Benatar, and people know her hits. So Hit Me With Your Best Shot, Love Is a Battlefield, but they may not have heard this song from Pat Benatar. So what I've learned to appreciate in my later years listening to you play songs on Sirius XM, her husband is an amazing guitar player.
Yes, Neil Giraldo's great. Well, look, they have the distinction. She's the first female ever on MTV.
Wow.
And he was the first electric guitar, as they were the second.
Yes.
Video played after the Buggles. If you can name the song, you win nothing on this Friday night.
Oh, my
but
gosh.
But self-esteem. Okay, so it was.
It was. Boom,
boom.
Oh, come on, you guys know
better
this.
Run.
Oh, of course, that is a great song.
You Better Run. You know what her first sort of minor hit was, though, which I always thought was funny, was I Need a Lover, John Mellencamp's song.
That's what was in my head, I Need a Lover, because it was such an old, it was an older song. But yeah, she has some great
79,
stuff.
79, Mellencamp sings a song about I want you to be my lover and then hit the road after I'm done with you. And I thought, wow, what a sexist song.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, 6 months later, she turns it around.
I'm assuming you interviewed Pat before, Alan, haven't you?
You know, I saw Pat several years ago in Chicago, as a matter of fact. And I don't think I was the one to interview her when she was, I mean, she did it a couple of times on MTV. I think it was like Mark or maybe Nina or something. But we interfaced a ton. I mean, I saw her backstage in Atlanta. Several years ago at the Lakewood Amphitheater there. So, you know, all of these people, we all kind of know each other. These festivals and these cruises and these 80s events have brought everybody back around. It's like old camp week, you know? So well, funny how the 80s have come back around again.
Yeah. What I don't understand is Pat Benatar, all her songs are about heartache, and yet she's been married to this guy for 35 years.
Forever.
Who's this guy that did her wrong? He's got to be kicking himself.
Well, when you're not in good relationships, you sing about a romanticized love. When you are in a solid one, you can branch out and sing about the stress and strife of relationships. So, I think they, along with Trudy Styler and Sting and Bono and Allie Houston and others, are something we can all dream about achieving is long-term marriages.
Yeah.
Good for them in the rock and roll business.
Alan, it's so great to have you with us on WGN Radio. I really appreciate you taking your time on a Friday night.
That'd be fun.
Keep up the good work. You do a great job on Sirius XM.
Well, likewise, Larry, you do a great job in the morning time. Me and my daughter and her husband, they love watching you in the morning time.
I appreciate
it. With the crew.
Yeah. We have a great time. Thanks, Alan. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, sir.